Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC, like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
T-shirts, bootlegging, rave, fashion, pop culture, art, DIY, anarchy, politics, class, activism. That is the world of Sports Banger.
Hello, and welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, the programme which steps inside the brains of some of the world's most creative people. I'm Talia Randall. I'm a poet, a writer and a radio producer. In this episode, I'm going to be running around after the man at the helm of what he calls a ragtag collective.
I'm John Sportsbanger. Johnny Banger. Sportsbanger is the label brand something. We're still working it out.
John Wright, aka Johnny Banger, is a fashion designer known for provocative slogan t-shirts and rave-inspired kaleidoscopic catwalk shows. He also sets up food banks. He puts on exhibitions. He runs a record label, club nights. The list goes on and on. Raised in the club, pirate radio and free party scenes, John's work is deeply influenced by DIY counterculture principles. He's an artist that could only have emerged out of the London rave scene. The heart of this work is community. So as well as spending time in Johnny Banger's studio in London, I'm also going to be meeting some of the people he works with.
John loves to give everything away for free.
John is a sort of multimedia troublemaker, really.
It's special. The man is special. The whole team are special.
I'm standing on a dusty street in northeast London. To my left is a charity that gives out free food. There are bags of kale and plantain piled up. To my right is a Turkish cafe.
I think we're here.
The whole area is industrial and noisy. Right in front of me is a big black gate.
I think we just push it open.
On the other side is Johnny Banger's studio. It's known as Maison de Bang Bang. I actually used to have a studio myself here around the corner, so I know the neighbourhood pretty well. It's good to be back.
Sorry, it's been chaos here today. This is the studio. Big, rusty, gated door. Yeah, we don't actually have a buzzer or anything here, so it's kind of like a knock or a shout.
But there is a dog.
Hello, baby.
Many people will know Johnny Banger, or Sports Banger, from the t-shirts they design and print. They're the first thing you see when you walk in.
Grey plastic stackable boxes full of t-shirts which kind of like span the whole room.
So usually printed on plain black or white, these t-shirts are bold. They often have punchy slogans, some of which we can't say on air.
So you've got fire, twisted, Britannia, smiley, love doves, grin.
Sports Banger is also known for their bootlegs. By bootlegs, I mean that some of the t-shirts will use the logos of well-known brands, unofficially and without the company's permission. It's not quite counterfeiting because he's not pretending to be the brand. Instead, these logos will then be mixed in with another image or slogan, usually to make a point or political statement.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we've got to go upstairs.
Heading up the stairs.
We've got wooden stairs.
From the greyscale of downstairs, the top floor of the studio explodes into colour. There's a bubblegum pink jacket made from pool floats, neon yellow dresses, clashing prints, and a jacket covered with pictures of the supermodel Kate Moss. Garments from Sports Banger fashion shows.
I mean, this is like the whistle dress. I mean, which, like, that weighs a ton. I think there's about 1,000 whistles in there.
A floor-length gown made entirely from whistles, with a matching headpiece too.
Why is a whistle so important? Why is it an iconic object?
I think everyone should own a whistle. It traverses through, like, loads of different sort of, like, music, whether it's carnival or a rave. Actually, the whistle in a rave scene sort of gained prominence from an act who used to use them to communicate with each other on stage. And so, like, the whistle is sort of like a form of communication. Then became sort of a tool of, like, you know, acknowledging when something is, like, good or something.
Being in the studio, surrounded by all this stuff, I can see that there are loads of different aspects to Johnny's work. So I ask him a deceptively simple question. What's the one sentence of what Sports Banger is?
I mean, it's a ragtag collective is one thing. But what is it? It's, what is Sports Banger? Don, what is Sports Banger?
Yeah, I don't know.
Today we're a clothing company. Tomorrow we're a.
I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't.
We still don't know.
My name is Dominic Riddler.
Dom's the voice you just heard from downstairs.
I'm an artist, an art director, and creative producer. I work with Sports Banger. I've worked with John since 2019. I was at his first show. The minute I saw it, I was like, I want to be involved. I wasn't really sure what John did for the first sort of 6 months of knowing him. I went to his studio for a little party, and then slowly the sort of world started to kind of make sense.
It's really interesting that you're like, for the first 6 months of knowing him, you weren't sure what he did.
I mean, there's people who've worked with John now, I think probably for about 5 or 6 years, who still don't understand what Sports Banger is, but they're still totally down to play with us and have fun and get involved.
When it comes to defining what Sports Banger is in one sentence, what is it?
I mean, that's like the question, isn't it, really? Probably just Johnny Banger. The thing is, if you were going to hold Sports Banger to anything, you'd look at the work done within the community, you know, that being food banks or working with junior doctors or working with artists, fashion designers, filmmakers, musicians.
Of all the things that Johnny Banger is known for, there's one particular T-shirt that sort of went viral here in the UK. It's a simple design printed on plain white that features two very well-known, very different logos. The Nike tick, or swoosh, as they call it, and the letters NHS, the official logo of the UK's National Health Service. He didn't have permission to use either logo. This bootleg T-shirt ended up becoming a defining moment in Johnny's work. He made the T-shirt in 2015. At the time, junior doctors were on strike here in England over pay and working conditions. Johnny says he wanted to do something to support them, but making this T-shirt unearthed a part of his life that he had buried.
My gran was a founding member of the NHS, 1948. My mum was a psychiatric nurse at a secure unit. She got ill when I was 13, leukaemia, died when I was 15. And so obviously, like, the care sort of which she went through and the process of everything that happened then. I had a brother who died as well when he was like a baby, like, all this kind of stuff. So I got a lot of experiences with the NHS, and it kind of brought all those right up front. And then I just wanted to do something to support essentially sort of like our junior doctor peer group at the time, where they're sort of like getting, you know, demonised through the media. So it resulted in that T-shirt. And I just thought that the NHS, the N, which is kind of like slightly forwards slanting, italic, I suppose, looks like the Nike and the NHS is good tick. If it was just an NHS T-shirt, people wouldn't have bought it. But you put a Nike tick on it and everyone bought it.
Sports Banger has sold thousands of these tops.
You know, with that T-shirt as well, I suppose that's the one which kind of really
you could say got in trouble with, but through my work, a lot of my work is sort of like bootlegging. It's not so much parody, it's like shunting two things together. I see bootlegging as sort of like reclaiming the logos which are shoved in your face every day, and sort of like, and either giving them back to yourself or giving them back to the people, sort of thing. And so with the bootleg nature of it, then obviously people will approach you in a legal capacity. I think I had like three PayPal accounts shut down, two merchant account things, you know, because when things like dance along the line of like counterfeit or not, then sometimes brands can just go straight to like other powers and go, they're selling counterfeits, shut down.
You might not think of the NHS as a brand, but the NHS logo is a UK trademark owned by the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care. It's protected under copyright law.
I think I got about 10 or 15 letters from the government identity protection team.
So like cease and desist letters?
Basically cease and desist, yeah.
That was 2015. But at the start of the COVID pandemic in 2020, the T-shirt made a comeback. Basically, a well-known DJ wore that old T-shirt on a live stream, and suddenly, loads of people wanted it again.
Right, well, we'll repress it, but we'll make sure we attach it to action. I kind of like always said it, you know, if you can organise a rave, you can organise a food bank.
So that's exactly what he did. With his friend Muriel, Johnny used the money from these T-shirts to provide healthy food to frontline NHS workers. They delivered the meals to intensive care units across London. At the same time, local teacher Shane found himself with hungry kids in his classroom. He was caring for families facing the financial fallout of the pandemic.
And there was a lot of tears. You know, as a teacher, you see kids crying, but this was different. It was like, this can't be right.
Shane saw what Johnny was doing and reached out.
I'd never heard of him before, and I saw he was giving out juices and smoothies to NHS and paramedics, and I thought, let me just message him out of the blue.
When I meet Shane at Johnny's studio, his six-year-old daughter, Erin, has tagged along. Shane shows me a video on his phone. It's the food bank that Johnny and his friends set up in 2020 to support families in Shane's school. Front and centre is Erin, then just 3 years old, helping to pack boxes of food.
What do you remember about that time, Erin, with the food bank?
It made me feel happy.
Why?
Because I was helping other people and I liked to help other people.
Every Friday from 6 o'clock in the morning, deliveries come and there'd be queues of families.
You know, there's days it's like it's raining, there's umbrellas, there's families outside and they're desperate for this stuff.
We helped people. Apart from being a parent to Erin, it's probably one of the best things I've done. 160 families we fed.
160 families every week.
Once a week
for two years.
It wasn't me that said to do it once a week. It was you.
Oh, is it?
It was you. The amount of money it must have cost you lot.
How much did it cost you? I kind of like at the time when we were doing the ICU drops as well. It was like it's about £6,000 a week.
£6,000. That was all from the sale of the NHS T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because we put it out like four times. It sold out in like half an hour, maybe even quicker, like every time we put it out.
Did you ever worry about the fact that in funding this project, you were selling a bootleg and that it might all come undone or that there would be like legal ramifications?
Nah. That T-shirt has constantly sort of got us in to sort of legal wranglings.
The second T-shirt drop during the pandemic caught the attention of the sports brand whose tick or swoosh he was using.
So, yeah, I mean, we did get a cease and desist on that T-shirt when we brought it back from Nike. But I kind of looked where the email came from and you could see it came from like an automatic image tracking sort of website. So it spits out a legal cease and desist straight away when it recognises something in algorithm, which is like, that's basically counterfeit Nike. So I just put a word in someone's ear at Nike, basically, and then I got a call from them, basically saying, hi, thanks for sort of like bringing this to our attention. take this phone call as sort of like an unofficial license to swoosh, like to make a silent donation to the work you're doing. So I suppose that's sort of like the pirate attitude, you know. The fact I've got a cease and desist from Nike and then an invoice, that's kind of like the way we operate.
This is a reminder that you're listening to the documentary In the Studio from BBC World Service.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to in-depth stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC, like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
I'm Talia Randall, and I'm with multimedia troublemaker Johnny Banger. Is everything that you do about bootlegging?
No, not at all. I think with Sports Banger, then it's been quite an easy sort of like or a headline or something to focus on. You know, it's always like UK's bootlegger or this and that. And there is something which appeals to people in I suppose, there in terms of like the troublemaker, because essentially bootlegging is, you know, breaking the law or copyright law, and there's an illegality to it. So it's quite romantic in that sense. But that's only one small part of sort of Sports Banger.
Just following up on what you just said with bootlegging, and obviously it's illegal, it's copyright infringement. Like, is that okay? How do you feel about that?
How do I feel about it being illegal?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I suppose it's that, I don't know, what is it, like David and Goliath, or like you've got the big boys, you know, the faceless corporate brands. I mean, it was never like about bootlegging. All it was basically about use what you got and do what you can, and just like start where you are. You can sort of become a slave to your bootlegs, because like everyone just wants to talk about that Nike NHS t-shirt all the time.
Bootlegging, or unofficially using other people's designs, isn't exactly unusual in the arts. Think about Andy Warhol using Campbell's soup, Banksy's version of the girl with the pearl earring, or how many times you've heard famous speeches sampled in dance music. Often, the originals are rethought and redesigned to make a statement or political point.
I never looked at Sports Banger as political. When people talk about activists and all that, it's like, well, it's just like, yeah, we're not activists, you know, we're just ravers.
What's the difference between what you do and what an activist collective or individual would do?
Because for me, if I was going to be like, yeah, I'm an activist, I should be at a refugee camp on the front line,
right,
getting stuck in. I'm not doing that. I'd love to, maybe I will at some point, but that is the real action, you know. And with our work, I suppose, I don't know, maybe I contradict myself a bit. With our work, we try and make sure that there is action to it, but it's just such a loaded term.
Do you describe yourself as an artist?
I've really struggled with that. No, I can be quite shy, like, is one thing. And I suppose that whole imposter thing, which, you know, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I always struggled with that. And what am I and what is my role in it?
To me, you're an artist.
Yeah.
And an activist. And, like, I wonder what that is
about. I don't know. Every time I hear them words, I'm like, get a proper job.
Do you think it's a class thing?
I reckon there's definitely, a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
I refuse to sort of, like, dumb down working class culture through any of, like, the work we put out there. There's so many more interesting nuances to being working class. I was never surrounded by anyone or anyone, and you're never told that this could be a thing and all that. And it's really quite mad how someone that's just like painted a loo roll holder will like something like call themselves an artist.
But there are other people Johnny feels happy to call artists. On the edges of West London, right next to Wormwood Scrubs Prison, is the Kersler Art Centre. This is a charity that showcases the art of people in criminal justice settings. Every year, the Kersler puts on an exhibition at London's South Bank Centre. Johnny's been invited to select 15 pieces for the show.
So essentially, yeah, I'm a guest judge, which is nice, but it's going to be quite a revealing day.
So we'll do a quick spin around the house and then you kind of see the different categories. So for example, there's like, yeah, ceramic paintings.
There are 7,000 artworks in the Kersler building. It is overwhelming. Every inch is covered in paintings, sculptures, ceramics. Some of the art is made from unusual materials. For example, one room smells of soap because it's one of the items that people in prisons and secure settings can get hold of.
This year we even have, I think, a mackerel skin on a canvas.
Phoebe Dunn is the Director of Arts at Kersler.
We want to encourage people in criminal justice settings to lead more positive lives by engaging in the arts and being creative, offering people a voice that they don't have, letting the artwork speak for them.
This year, the Kersler Arts Exhibition is being curated by artist John Costi and Turner Prize-winning artist Jeremy Deller. Jeremy's a visual artist best known for large-scale installations, public reenactments and political films. He's known Johnny for a good while.
First time I met John was at a fashion show he had in his former studio, and it was a tiny little space. And I was sitting there watching it, and I thought the only place that this could happen in the world would be London. And I couldn't tell you why that was, but it was just of its place, entirely of its place.
How would you define sports banger?
Well, sports banger is that John, or is sports banger the umbrella term for John and all his activities? I don't know. He just gets in everywhere that he can and does whatever he can when he's there. And then he has these sort of radiating sort of concentric circles of people that he works with and different groups of people he works with. It's not just T-shirts, clearly. It's just everything else as well. It's activism, it's music, it's organising events, it's fashion shows, it's spoken word, it's the book he's made. It's just everything, really. So I don't think he really sees any boundaries in terms of what he wants to get up to.
Yeah.
Do you
want to know? What's your two roles here?
After hours of combing through thousands of artworks, Johnny has made his selections. It includes a tricorn hat made from playing cards, drawings that look like they've come straight out of a graphic novel, and a working model of a snooker table made from matchsticks.
There's a lot of messaging in stuff and a lot of, like, internal voices kind of, like, speaking out. It's quite emotional as well. You don't know the stories behind any of these paintings, and the artwork is just the artwork, but you can't help but think and wonder. It's quite a lot, and it's really mad to sort of, like, try and make a selection of the work, kind of, like, what are you trying to say from your selection, I suppose. Like one selection is like a tiny painted pair of ballet shoes, which is, they're so delicate to see that that's come from sort of like a male prison. Art is for the people and it comes from the people. I mean, this could not be any more from the people. I struggled to call myself an artist, but then I look at all this and I was like, yeah, these are all artists. And it's quite mad. It's quite a leveller, I suppose, art. And this whole day has been well humbling.
It's been quite a personal day too.
My mum was she worked in a secure unit. She's a psychiatric nurse, Severals Hospital in Colchester, which is now sort of like derelict, demolished, basically. But I remember going there as a child, and I do remember sort of like her talking about her work occasionally. But, yeah, I mean, you're too young to sort of ask the questions, which now, you know, you wish you could ask the questions and get the answers. This would all be sort of so familiar to her. I would have a lot to talk to her about today.
The next day...
Hi, Talia.
I get a voice note from Johnny.
Just sorting out a shoot on Monday, which is... we've sort of been brought on as creative director for the Blessed Madonna album.
I'd asked him to keep me updated about his various projects, and I'm struck by how different this day seems to the experience at the Kersler.
Combined with sort of like the congregation and tent revival kind of scene and the speaking
today,
in tongues.
Today, he's working with DJ, producer and musician, the Blessed Madonna, on her new album and one of the musical collaborations she's recorded for it.
Providing sort of 5 T-shirt designs through that as well, and some single artwork for the single with Kylie.
as in the Kylie, the global superstar. But back on set with the Blessed Madonna, Johnny's been asked to recreate an iconic 1970s photo for the album cover. The image features a young girl with long flowing hair surrounded by members of her congregation. They're placing their healing hands on her forehead.
Hiya, Talia here. I am loving these dispatches.
Check out this voice note from Johnny's chat with photographer Ollie.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling really good, one.
You just got to talk a bit to the thing. It's BBC World Service, and I'm recording like bits of audio, which I'm going to put into like
BBC World Service.
Yeah.
Serious.
Yeah. To talk about the shoot, or like you're like, oh yeah, you know.
Can you not give me a minute to prepare? I'm really, really, really happy, actually. Everyone's performing very well, which really surprised me, seeing as these people aren't actors or they're just...
Yeah,
we've
got Alwyn, who's our postman. I think this is the most professional shoot you've worked on with us in terms of...
Yeah.
Well, these shoots we usually get you on, how would you describe those?
Well, no one's sober or on time or follows the normal protocols of shoots. It's usually just about themselves.
A vibe.
Yeah, it's more about the vibe. Yeah, it's really teenage. It's self-centered. It's classic I generation who just only cares
Look,
about...
Look, the BBC World Service, can we get some really good shoot this one today?
This is a really good shoot this one today. I'd say this is the best shoot so far I've ever done.
Come on, speak in tongues.
With all this constant channel changing between food banks, prisons and fashion shoots, no wonder Johnny struggles to distill the essence of what Sports Banger is. In 10 years' time, how do you think you'll be describing Sports Banger?
Probably as a sellout.
What makes you say that?
No, I mean, it's time. Yeah, I don't know. Just need to get some quids in. It's just, you know, but no, it's never like, it's too personal to be able to do that. Sports Banger is kind of like, it is all I've got. It's a complete miracle that we are here after 12 years off the back of a single T-shirt and a hand-me-down smartphone with no laptop. It's very easy for everything to come undone or unstuck. But I don't really want to put myself in that, because we celebrate people and not power.
What is it that you would say, like, that you stand for?
I think everyone's right to beautiful, radiant things, which is something I nicked.
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, which was presented and produced by me, Talia Randall. It was a Storyglass production.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to In-Depth Stories on BBC Podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get award-winning storytelling from the BBC, like World of Secrets, Believe in Magic and Uncanny, plus other great BBC podcasts from news to history to comedy, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.